Interestingly enough, Matthew and Luke don't record everything that John does, even though they're looking at the same scenario here. Matthew chapter 27, look at verse 55. The Bible says, "And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him." There's our women. Who are they? "Among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, or Joseph, and Mary, and the mother of Zebedee's children." That sounds familiar because we've been introduced to her before. Well, who else is there? You've got your Bible open. Go to Mark. Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, verse number 40. Mark 15, verse number 40. The Bible says, "There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, Joseph, and Salome," or Salome probably, but we'll say Salome, that's how we pronounced it, "who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him, ministered unto him, many other women which came up with him into Jerusalem." In case I forget, you'll notice something in both of these accounts, and this is just, this is ABC, this is NBC, John's going to be CBS here. The men are terrified. Many of the men have taken off. But the women are courageous. And they're following Jesus all the way to the cross. It's an indictment of us that we think men, church, and we're the only ones who are courageous, rather. When the reality is, when they were putting people to death, the men skedaddled, by and large, and the women are surrounding Jesus as he's going to die. Look at Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. I know I'm flipping a few pages here. If you're on your tablet, you are there. Luke 23, verse 49. The Bible says, "And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things." What things? Jesus is being crucified. John finishes filling in what we've been unable to see so far. John chapter 19, last passage, verse 25. John 19, verse 25. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother," that's Mary, "and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he called unto his mother, 'Woman, behold thy son.'" We don't get the gesture till we read verse 27. "Then saith he to the disciples," that's John, "'Behold thy mother. You take care of my mom." Not that Jesus didn't have any brothers or sisters. He did. But as the oldest, it was his responsibility to make sure she was taken care of. And he entrusts with one of his last dying acts the care of his earthly mother. "And from that hour, the disciple," that's John, "took her unto his own home." I want to help you. Four women, four ladies standing around the cross. Four ladies standing around the cross. Would you pray with me right now? Father, help us to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Thank you for the occasion. I pray that you would bless us. Speak to us this morning. Lord, we have many in this room have an afternoon planned out already. And I pray for them. I pray that as they celebrate, as they take some R&R, as they are with ladies in their lives or on the phone or looking through photos, whatever it is, that it will be a sweet time and a precious time. I ask you to be with them. Let's speak to our hearts. Help me today. Help me to cut through the hallmark of the holiday and preach your word, Lord. And I pray that you'd speak to every heart. Help us, I ask, in these moments, use me and fill me, Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name and amen. I mean, you can be seated. Be seated. Mother's Day is a weird day for a couple of reasons, a couple opportunities there. One, it's a day that you kind of almost magnify the imperfection of life. Mother's Day is one of those things. I've always wondered why everybody gets dressed up at a wedding, because men get dressed up because they have to. Nod your head if you understand that, men. Well, women get dressed up because they're evaluating everyone else. They're evaluating everyone else. They're going in, they're seeing this, they're seeing that, you know, they're walking up and they're doing one of these, and Don't you look nice? They don't mean it. They don't mean it. But anyway, they're just kind of evaluating each other. Not you women, but other women. And they're doing this. This is kind of how it is. Mother's Day is one of those occasions where, all right, all of you that are perfect mothers, you were up early with the sourdough bread and the homemade stuff and all. You've already plowed the field and washed the car. You changed the oil and the spark plugs. And you've done all these things. You made reservations. You grew your own flowers. In a little while, you'll have salad. You'll be able to use your own herbs. Don't use herb. And your own herbs, you know, that you grew. And you're spotless, bacteria-free style. And you never get ugly and all that. You never lose your cool. And yeah, Mother's Day is one of those days going, you don't measure up. You don't fit in. I've been in a lot of services where a well-meaning preacher got up and talked about the perfect woman. And you just watch the women shrink. Well, my secret's out. Well, number one, it wasn't a secret. Number two, I don't know what the doofball's doing here. The Bible doesn't talk about perfect women. The Bible talks about women and men needing the grace of God. Needing the grace of God. I chuckle every time that I watch a television program or see some movie, you know, and it never shows reality. Never shows people having a bad day or a bad moment. Never show someone medicating with chocolate, or having a time where they just want to be alone. Shut the door, leave the room, you know, and those kind of things. You know, that's a little more life. It's a little more grace that we need. And I had made up my mind, boy, whenever it was my time to preach, I wasn't gonna make anybody feel bad if I could help it. I want to encourage you. And so with all that going on, with all the hoopla and the holler, with all the Hallmark that goes with that, I want to see if I can't help us today. I want to see if we can honor ladies and honor motherhood and not sentimentalize it so badly, but maybe just see some women like us, you, normal folks, and how they intersected with Jesus. I think that might be very, very helpful today. James Dobson told a little story about the well-meaning girl. And she was going to do something nice for her mama on Mother's Day. And her mom smelled the tea before she came in the door. And there on the little tray and the little saucer and the little cup with the tea bag off the side with the tea bag in the saucer was a freshly brewed cup of tea with the steam rising off of it. The mother sat up and smiled and said, "Well, this is so sweet, dear. How'd you do this?" And the little girl kind of cocked her head and said, "I've seen you do this before. It's not so hard." And the mother said, "Oh, excuse me, sorry. Said, "Wow," she took a big sip there. "Well, what'd you do?" She said, "Well, I put the water on the stove, and then when the bubbles came up, I knew it was hot, and I put the tea bag in the cup, and then I poured it over, and then I squeezed the tea bag out, and I strained it." She said the strainer, and mom knew that the strainer was up high. Said, "How did you strain?" She said, "Oh yeah, I used a strainer. What'd you use for a strainer?" Said, "Well, I used the fly swatter." The fly swatter. "Don't worry, Mom. I knew not to use the new fly swatter. I used the old one." And so she wasn't ruining it. Amen. When we think about all this kind of stuff, there's humor and there's horror and there's funny and there's all this kind of things. Let's just see how these women are. Let me give you a few ideas and help you this morning. Look at the verses here together. I want you to see a couple. Number one, I want you to see the nearness. These women, I want you to see how near these women are to Jesus. These women are to Jesus. It gives their names here. Let me help you. It gives, first of all, Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. If you stay there in the book of John, you can kind of follow. Now, stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Matthew doesn't mention it. Mark doesn't mention it. Luke doesn't mention it. I don't know why. I don't know if it's a given or understood. But you see here see here Mary. Mary is there literally at the foot of the cross. These women are near to him. And there's one reason. Part of it's there's a family tie. You have some relatives that are there. You have some. You have an aunt that's there. You have you have a Mary, the mother of Mary, the mother of Jesus. You've got an aunt that's there. You've got all these people, and you have these family ties. Sometimes it is family that helps us intersect with Jesus. Sometimes it's a relationship that has brought us to that point. Let me help you with a couple of things. I think by and large, many women have come to Christ because of some family member. They used to say, when the mama and you get the family. Now they say, when the daddy and you get the family. So many times, and I can think, by the way, of nothing better to give. And remember on Mother's Day, if it was a woman in your life who introduced you to Jesus Christ, if it was a mom or a grandmother or an aunt, somebody who said, you are an awful, rotten sinner, but there is a wonderful Savior who died for your sins, and if you would repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Him, then you could be right with God. It was a family tie that's evident there. There's some forgiveness ties that are there. He mentions Mary Magdalene. Matthew chapter 18. I'm quoting that, but anyway, let me make sure. Yeah, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 27, Mark chapter 15. You see over and over again where Jesus is talking about, Jesus is talking about Mary Magdalene. I'm sorry, it's Mark 16 rather, and it's Luke chapter 8. This is a woman who had the demons in her. Every so often in my ministry, in our ministry, I'll run into someone who's so broken by sin. So many pill bottles, and so many alcohol cans, and so many relationships. And they go, God doesn't want anything to do with me. I give you Exhibit B, Mary Magdalene, whose life just wasn't a mess. People were scared of her. She was so off the deep end that when Jesus comes to her, you will go back and read it if you don't believe. People are nervous for Jesus here. And out of great, what we would call depths of sin, let me help you, everybody is in a whole lot of sin. We just like to quantify it differently. Out of all kind of poor choices, out of all kind of mess and misery, Jesus has forgiven her. And this woman who has had so much done for her by Jesus, she's standing around the cross. There's some family ties. There's some forgiveness ties. There's a third. There's some faith ties. Mary has believed. Mary, the mother of Jesus, believed. His aunt has come now. She's asked for her sons to be given special positions in Jesus' kingdom there. There's Mary Magdalene, whose heart is just overwhelmed. It's overwhelmed what God has done to her. There's Salome who has come and just the wife of Clopas, and she is there and she needs to and wants to believe. And they all surround the cross. They all surround the cross. Let me give you a second idea here, and I want to build up to my conclusion. There's a need that's going on here. Jesus needs to take care of his mother. Jesus needs to take care of his mother. Look right here for a second. One of the reasons we're going to serve with CARM, one of the reasons we're going to do some other things, Lord willing, before the end of the year, is not because it's good PR, not because it's expected, not because everybody else is doing it. I promise you, I don't stick my finger up in the air and look at what's going on. I don't research things that I think will make us look good. I just don't. But the church was characterized by their acts of generosity. And the church has always been characterized by taking care of others. It's only been the last 60 years we've said, hey, I pay my taxes, let somebody else handle the riffraff and all this kind of stuff like that. That has not been the heart of God. That's not characteristically been the work of the church. The work of the church has been to help those who could not help themselves. Part of it we get about taking care of family, by the way, and the original old folks' home, a nursing home, they almost always were church-run or church-led. Why? Because Jesus sets the example here. With his dying breath, he makes sure in agony that he takes care of his mother. Why? Because his father had passed.
My stepfather passed not 10 days after we had arrived here. We went home. We were gone for a week. Nobody blinked. Nobody said a word. Nobody was upset. We just got here. We were gone. You know, all those kind of things. Why? Because everybody understood that I was the oldest son and I need to go home and make sure affairs were taken care of at mom's house. I went back every 4 weeks for 2 or 3 days. Occasionally I'd be there just a day. Every now and then I drove 14 hours in about 30 hours. Just needed to happen. Had to do this, had to do those kind of things. Why? Because the man at the house had passed away. I was the oldest son. I felt an obligation based upon Scripture and based upon my own heart that I need to go home and take care of that. We've not taken a vacation vis-a-vis since we've been here, any trips we've done. I did go to a conference, excuse me, but it was a working conference. I don't reckon it counts, but I did get out of town the one time. But anyway, because I just went home and done that. I'm not mad. I'm not upset about it. It needs to happen. Why? Because the Scripture gives this idea here that we are to take care of those people, make sure that they are looked after. Why? Because the man of the house had died, and Jesus, being the oldest, was going to take care of him. He looked at it as her responsibility. There's brothers and sisters that's there. You can farm some of that out. You can check that it's done. I don't know. We interrupt all our lives, but there's something that beats in the heart of an older child that says, I want to make sure mom's taken care of. I want to make sure dad's taken care of here. There's a tremendous principle of family that goes on here. Let me help you. Family splits up, divides, separates geographically, sometimes economically. Gladys over here going, I wish some of my kids would have moved off. And I'm just kidding. And all these kind of, she doesn't believe that. I'm saying that. Keith's over there going, I wish we had two. And they live right beside each other. And there's still some responsibility that's there. There's still a heart that beats there. Whether you're praying for them or encouraging or calling them, in a disconnected world, excuse me, in a connected world, it seems like we're so disconnected from what we ought to care about the most. Can I get an amen from anybody here? Amen. Father was dead. Responsibility was his. Responsibility was his. His other half-siblings, by the way, they didn't believe he was the Messiah. Why did he give it to someone not in the, give her the responsibility to someone not in the family? I tell you exactly why. Because the other brothers and sisters didn't believe in him. He handed her off to a believer. He made sure that she got with someone who knew that he was the dying, crucified Lord, and who would soon be the resurrected Lord. I'm giving you the biggest commission I can give you, one of the biggest ones, and that is to take care of her and to make sure that she is looked after. There was a fourth reason there. He loved her. He loved her. As you look around here, three Marys, Salome, two sisters, a lady, by the way, who has some means. Mary Magdalene's going to help. She's a businesswoman. She's industrious. All we know about, really about Salome, is she's married. We see something so pure right here. Jesus loves his mama. People yell and scream at their parents. I want to shake them. People talk ugly behind their parents' back, text ugly things, mean and merciless. I want to do more than shake them. Jesus, not just because he's God, not just because he's in agony, he loves his mother. Say, well, church about this, church about that, and you don't understand, you don't understand. I got news. You got one mama. If you're blessed, you have a Sometimes you may have a stepmother or adoptive situation, somebody who chooses to love you, just doesn't have to love you because of physical birth, and I put all that in quotes. If you're blessed of God, you may have many people who pour themselves into you. Look right here, and you have an opportunity, I would say an obligation, to make sure that you respond in love. He loved her. He loved her. Andre and I hang up the phone. I love you. I call my mom. I love you. Call my mother-in-law. Starts saying my stepmother. Call my mother-in-law. I don't have a stepmother. Call my mother-in-law. I love you. Why? Why? Because I love you. I love you. There's a few of you. You say it so often. Every now and then I'll call you on the phone and you'll tell me you love me. And it's real sweet. The first time or two kind of unnerves me a little bit. I'm kidding. You do that, man. I think a believer, it ought to flow like just oxygen. And they love you. He said he loved her. He loved her. Let me give you two things and close up here. I want you to see the necessity. Here's these women. They're very close to Jesus. Here's the need that he has to take care of his mother. And here's the necessity of the crucifixion. Here's the necessity of the crucifixion. Don't miss. If you don't catch anything else, get these last two ideas here. There's the necessity of the crucifixion. Why? Why does Jesus have to die? These women are there. He loves them. They love him. There's his aunt. There's his mother, his earthly mother. There's Mary Magdalene, who he's cast all these demons out of. And again, the spiritual wickedness, the spiritual demonic forces, all that terrifies us. We get in a scary movie and we can sleep with the lights on. Here's this woman who lived her own horror movie. And she is right there while Jesus is being impaled, while Jesus is dying, and it's awful and it's gruesome. See, there's a necessity of the crucifixion. Why? Because Jesus' mother needed a Savior. Because Jesus' mother needed a Savior. Dear folks who go by the nomenclature of being Roman Catholic, and I appreciate their zeal. Many of them are ardent for life and against abortion. I appreciate all that. Many of them are very strong about marriage. That's wonderful and fine. But Mary was not sanctified and made right with God because she had a baby and she was not perpetually a virgin. The Bible doesn't teach any such of the thing. Mary said, "Behold, I need a Savior." You read Mary's song and Mary says, "God, my Savior." Made a very popular song, "Mary, did you know?" Did you know what? Did you know that you were carrying the very Savior that you need? Mary was a sinner in need of a Savior, and wasn't an earth that she bore the Christ child. He had to die and rise again. Mary needed a Savior. Let me help you. Very religious people need a Savior. Salome needed a Savior. Even though it's spelled the same, wife of Cleopas, wife of Clopas, and Jesus had a cousin, an uncle named Clopas or Cleopas. It's actually, when you look at it, it's very different words, different people. Here's just somebody with no immediate connection. She's got enough connection, John knows who she is. By that, I take it she stays faithful to Christ, and she's part of the early church. She's somebody without a connection. She's somebody like me in East Tennessee. Andre and I are not going to anybody's house this afternoon, or any family house. We may go to some of your houses, just show up, see what you're eating. There's no family here. No family here. I don't say that for any other reason. There's no family here. That's okay. It's no problem. If I lived in North Carolina, I'd be heading to somebody's house this afternoon. I'd be eating chicken and pastry or firing up the grill and cooking some chicken breast or steak or something, or maybe pop a lasagna in the oven or whatever. Here she is. She's got no connection, we know. She just is interested in who Jesus is. Guess what? Salome needed a Savior. People who don't have an obvious connection to what's going on need a Savior. There's this other woman. I'm sorry, I said Salome. Mary. Mary has asked Jesus a favor. Hey, can my two sons sit on both the right hand and your left hand? Can they be an authority? She came to Jesus wanting something from him. Can you help me out? Can you fix this up? Can you put us on the inside track? Here's a 20. Can you give us really good seats? Can you make sure that my boys, look right here. See, this woman's everywhere in 2017. I want to go to the best school, have the best job. I want them to marry well, do well, have a nice home. I want them to take care of this. We're going to go over here, and we're going to avoid this teacher, and we're going to do this, and we're going to make sure of this, and we're going to make sure the bed's not too soft, and we're going to get them nice cleats, and this will be good. This will look good on the SAT scores and the ACT. We'll make sure they get their community service hours in and want to do all this. We're going to plot their life out for them because we want them to do real well, and a little bit of helicopter here and a little bit of this here, and make sure you do this and don't hang out with that person, all this kind of stuff, and all these kind of things, because all she could see is a vertical track for her boys, and Jesus was part of that. Jesus is an up-and-comer, and won't hurt to ask, hey, would it be all right if they have some executive leadership positions in your kingdom? Say, preacher, when you say it like that, it sounds kind of bad. She's asked him for a political favor to benefit her boys. By the way, go back and read it. It's just that naked. And there's Jesus on the cross, bleeding and dying for their sins, for her sins. That's pretty humbling, by the way, isn't it? See, Mary needs a Savior. Don't miss it. Mary Magdalene needs a Savior. Mary Magdalene needs a Savior. Say, so he cast out the devils from her. Sure did. Jesus has still got to go to the cross. He's still got to rise from the grave. If there is no resurrection, if there is no crucifixion, those devils can come right back in. It can be even worse. Mary Magdalene and all the people like her need a Savior. She's successful. She's got money. She's got means. But she's got literally, she got demons. And Jesus has freed her, and Jesus wants to save her. Forget the size 2, everything's all right. Forget the doesn't need makeup. Forget the house is always perfect. Forget the, excuse me, never feed your kids anything but organic this and organic that. I read one story this week, a young mother said, before I had kids, said I had all kind of theories and all kind of energy. Says, now I have 3 kids. I have no energy and I have no more theories. And the world holds up this or holds up that. Or let me help you. The world attacks motherhood and attacks being a woman and attacks being a biblical woman. And it poo-poos all of you that want to serve the Lord and do what's right here. I've got news for you. All these 4 women, they all needed a Savior. Let me wrap up. Why? Because there's a new life that all women need. There's a new life that all women and all men need. Look back in your verse if you still have it open there. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus' mother, mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and disciples whom he loved, woman, behold your son. Then he said to his disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour the disciples took her into his own home. Your Bible's open in John. Flip over just a page or two to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. The Bible says, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the... What's the word there? It's on the screen if you didn't flip. With the who? Women. Should have cut the arrow on you. All are asleep. With the who? Women. Say, I don't fit. Eh. I got too much baggage. Eh. I'm very religious. Eh. I have deep family ties to this church, to a church, to churches. Eh. He died. He rose again. There's unbelievable persecution. And where do we find him? All together, praying, waiting for the promise of the Spirit of God and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his, let me help you, half-brothers and sisters. There's been an evangelistic fire brought about in the life of Jesus' family because he died and rose again. James, a half-brother of Jesus, will pen one of the letters that's in your Bible. Mary is going to be one of the influential people that's here in the Scriptures. Salome, who wanted all this stuff, and Mary, who wanted all this stuff, rather, for her boys, is going to watch her boys not be exalted, but be executed. They're going to die for Jesus. It's going to change everything. These women around the cross. So what do you mean? There's a new life. Everybody needs. It looks like this. They need to be forgiven of their sins. They need to be forgiven of their sins. Much as I think of mothers and ladies, you can be a real nice mom and a real good lady, quote unquote, and you can die in your sins. You need to be forgiven. To be American and Southern and to take care of things and to be up early and to go to bed late and to eat cold food and all the string of things that comes along with motherhood and put up with attitudes and actions and dispositions and all that jazz, you still need to be forgiven. Let me help you. Best thing some of you could receive this Mother's Day is not a red rose from the church. It is to experience what it means to be forgiven of all the wrong you've ever done and to be absolutely right with God. See, they need to be forgiven of their sins. They needed faith to follow Him. They needed faith to follow Him. I like trips, and I like bus trips, and I like social media, I think. I like bingo and games and this and that. But the goal of being a mom, the goal of being a woman, the goal of getting older is not to goof around. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. And church is not an accessory that's fashionable where we live. And I ought to just string this on to what we're doing and maybe some good will rub off. But the real word and what's really important somewhere out there and to be successful and all. No, they had the faith to follow Jesus and it's going to cost them dearly. Say, what do you mean? See, they passed it on. They passed it on. Say, I want to be a good aunt, I want to be a good daughter, I want to be a good mother, grandmother, I want to be a good sister. Then pass it on. Pass it on. They may not get it. They may reject it. But it'll scream in their ears. Proverbs says, train up a child in the way it should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. It's actually backwards the way it's translated. It means they won't get away from it. It'll run after them. It'll chase them in their sleep. It'll wake up to it in the morning. They'll remember mama praying and grandma praying. They'll remember the scripture they've received. They'll remember they may not like it. They may not want it, but it'll run after them. They're responsible to God. They're responsible for what they do with what they've received here. But man, my hope, your hope, is that you pass on the faith. Say, prove it to me. Acts 1:14, there's Mary. Not with unbelieving children now. With believing children. Jesus, one of the last recorded things, he's walking on the road to Emmaus. He's talking with two guys. One of them is his uncle, who has come to faith in Jesus. And he expounds to him, unfolds to him all the Old Testament concerning himself. He says, did not our hearts burn within us? You know, have a great Mother's Day and a great day every day. Pass on. Pass on the faith. We do that. Junior church, they go home with slips. Sunday school, they go home with information and all. Things that you can talk to them about. Points to ponder here. We encourage you men, make sure that you're helping lead your family. If you don't do anything else other than pray with your family and make sure that they read their Bible and give them the Word. Why? You want to pass that on. See, they had the faith to pass on their families. See, we end up where we started. There's four women standing around the cross. They got real close to Jesus, and it changed their life. And it changed their life. See, what do you want for the ladies of our church today? I want them to get real near the cross. And if it hadn't already, I want it to change their life. And if it has changed their life, I want them to pass it. Pass the faith. Keep handing the faith down. Some may grab it, some may reject it. But I want to keep giving it to them and let them know that it matters. Paul said, I have no greater children than my children. Joy than my children walk in the truth. That's our prayer today. Say, I'm here, man. I got all this baggage. So did Mary Magdalene. Jesus changed her life. I'm here today and I'm not real connected with the church. That's fine. Jesus changed her life. I'm here and I'm crazy connected. Jesus can change your life. I'm here and I'm very, very religious. But if you don't know Christ and never been forgiven of your sins, Jesus wants to change your life. Four women near the cross, everything changes. Pray with me right now. Our heads are bowed and nobody's looking around.